Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Brooke Taylor, Brooke Taylor, Taylor, wife of Jim Mama Five. Brooke Taylor, Taylor, she's got the best hair alive. Brooke Taylor, Taylor, you gotta listen, you know. Brooke Taylor, Taylor, 'cause now it's time for Good Things Radio.
All right. How about that? Welcome to Good Things Radio. You were just treated to the stylings, the tremendous talents of none and nunner. Thank you so much, ladies. I love that because you made me feel so good. But if you were to actually see my head of frizz right now, you would change your lyric about having the best hair. But that is just a preview of what you're going to get on today's show. So I'm really excited to share with you the conversation with none and nunner on episode 148. Welcome to the show. My name is Brooke Taylor. And in addition to those beautiful ladies, we are going to connect. I have an extra treat for you today with the founder, the creator of the Catholic Family Crate. Her name is Alyssa Tribegan. And I love this because she is going to share, just be very honest about the limitations she has, the hope she had on her heart, and trying to bridge those two, and how God can use us where we are, no matter what is going on, and how he works through that. So really good conversation, I think. Just another big show. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here on today's program. And so we've got listener feedback, lots of goodies, another jam-packed one for you. Let's jump right in.
Well, the mail must go through. The mail must go through. No matter if it rains or snows, the mail must go through. I said the mail.
On the last show, we had a major announcement. If you've been a longtime listener, you know all about the book Choose Joy, a 52-week devotional that was so supported here through the listeners, the audience of Good Things Radio, and then sharing it and seeing how far and wide the book reached just when we set out, never thinking that we would do more than that. But the announcement that we shared is another book is happening. It's called Choose Hope. Over 50 remarkable contributing writers submitting stories to this book, and a really awesome team committed, working hard to bring you this devotional, God willing, by the end of November this year. And so when we announced it, without hesitation, so many of you reached out and shared words of encouragement and support. So I just wanted to thank you and read a few emails. First, from Marianne. Marianne said, "Hi, Brooke. I am so excited about Choose Hope. I don't know where I would be without hope. When I look at my husband and I, our life has been bouncing from one issue to another, one disaster to another. Through it all, I never lost the hope that tomorrow would be better. Hope and faith make the foundation I stand upon. Anyway, very excited for you and for the rest of us when it's available. Love the podcast. Love you, Marianne." Thank you, Marianne. And I think there's a lot of nodding heads, Marianne, because we know through the challenges that we traverse as Christians, the lifeblood that is our hope. So I just thank you so much for that. Agnesia, she said, "Brooke, just listened to the newest podcast. So excited to hear about another devotional. I was hoping there would be another one coming up after Choose Joy. Big congrats. Looking forward to another book to help me along with the Sunday readings." Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies. God bless you. And we'll keep you posted on the process.
Join the show. Share your feedback on Voxer. Find Brooke at BrookeTaylor1 or shoot us an email at feedback@goodthingsradio.com and be part of the conversation.
Well, I am super giddy and giggly about our guest today because I feel like it's when you're at a birthday party and you see a really good friend opening a present that you know she's going to love. And it's that moment where you're just waiting for her to unwrap it, or in my case, take it out of the gift bag because I didn't wrap it. I'm just going to put it in the gift bag.
Yes.
So I'm taking you out of the gift bags because I know our audience is going to love the presence that you are today. Nun and Nun are joining us on the program. Hi, ladies.
Hi, Brooke. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, we're really excited.
We are.
And you're like ear candy, which I know the listeners will hear. Sister Mary Rose, Sister Maria Stella, a dynamic duo, kind of an improv comedy act with substance. Mm-hmm. And it seems like spiritual sisters in some way as well. You two are BFFs. You have really good chemistry, which is obvious. I think that would be a close description. Is that about right?
I think you
got it.
That's
exactly how I talk about it. Yeah.
Chemistry. And you do this beautiful act, and we'll get to the genesis behind it. Dressed as nuns, your habits and everything. Mm-hmm. But the first time that I saw you, and it was online, it was a viral video, social media, I thought, oh, they had to have seen Sister Act. Because if I were to describe what you do, it makes me think of Sister Act and those seminal films. Is that in any way an influence on you, or have you seen the movies?
Oh, have we? And that is absolutely the genesis of where this started. We were doing a youth group in our early 20s, and someone who was mentoring us through starting the youth group said, you know, you can have like some times for song and then for sharing and maybe like do a skit. And we were like, a skit? Okay. So the first time we did it, we lip synced to Sister Act. It was terrible. And the kids were polite enough to kind of like laugh a little bit.
Oh, they didn't even laugh at all.
Well, because the younger generation doesn't know it.
It was just bad.
It was just bad. So then we came back the next time and for some reason still stuck with the sister thing. Sometimes we were old women, Soccer mom. Yeah, we kind of tried some different things, but the kids would go home and say, oh my gosh, Katie and Mikey have this hilarious skit that they're doing. And it's so funny. And they kept asking us to do it over and over again. So we said, okay. And then parents started asking us, hey, would you do it for a mom's group or this or that? We said, okay. And then priests were like, hey, would you do it for our parish?
Okay.
And bishops said, hey, would you do it for this conference? We're like, okay.
Sure.
So we just kind of kept going with what God was offering to us. But it started at Sister Act lip sync.
Yep. I'm so glad it did. I mean, because those things stick. I still can't hear My God without thinking of My God, or, you know, well, they changed it to My God in the movie.
Yes.
And in some ways, kind of like Whoopi Goldberg and Sister Mary Clarence, you are playing a nun on TV and on social media, but you're not really a nun. And there are no mobsters after you either. So tell us about that. We know, as you just shared, that it just began with a beautiful, fun, open-hearted yes, not knowing where it was going to lead. But now it's really turned into something concrete and beautiful, which is how so wonderfully surprising the Lord works, I feel like. So I guess, when did you realize that this was something that you could actually do and take on the road and on a national scale?
I think once the Instagram kind of started to get a following, I would say, was when that was... Actually, it's also a very scary moment.
Yeah.
Katie is the social media guru of the two of us. I actually secretly despise social media, some accounts and stuff, but I'm really bad about checking it. I do like to have it. I see the goodness in it and how it can be used as a good tool, but my initial reaction is it overwhelms me and scares me. And so when we started getting a ton of followers, and then Katie would call me and she was like, oh, this person said this, or check this out, see our video or whatever. And it's one of those moments where you're like, oh wow, okay, this is bigger than us. That's when you really know, I think, it's that the Holy Spirit and the Lord are involved, accepting the fact that there's like a calling. I feel like it's almost hard to explain because I literally was scared.
Yeah, I think it definitely was a learning curve for us, because we thought, especially like at the beginning, like our bio didn't say that we weren't real nuns, because we were just in our little town. Everyone knew that we weren't real nuns. Mm-hmm. And it took us some time to realize, like, oh, people might think we're real here. And so we tried to be as clear as possible. And we even, you know, and this sounds very silly, but we consulted like some priests on what should our bio say to make sure that it's clear, but also allow us to keep in character.
Mm-hmm.
I think realizing those moments, like, oh, we've got to be real clear here, because it's now people are following us who don't know us.
Well, I think that's beautiful and important because we are in a time where the church isn't always respected. And you don't know, is this mocking or is this respectful? And that was, at first, I loved what you were doing. And then I thought, is this okay? Can I like this? Oh, they're not real nice. And then I loved it because I realized yesterday I was at the library and there was a 70-some-year-old woman that just came up to me and started talking to me. And out of nowhere, she shared with me that she was educated by nuns in West Virginia. You know, we're in Ohio. But I thought, man, that is just in her mind all these years later, bringing it up and she's talking about it. And it was a time where there were nuns in schools and in our culture, there was a lot of respect and it was part of our Americana. And now we don't see it as much. And I do think that we need to be reminded of the beauty of that vocation and the fact that you're fully habited.
Footwear is a little off color. And there's definitely some manicure issues that probably are not really true to the habit, but we don't really go out in public that way. We have at times gone out like for maybe to do some Instagram pictures, and there have been times where somebody's come up and remember there was one guy who said, hey, you two real nuns? And I said, what do you think? And he said, nah, and he pointed down, and I thought he was pointing at Mikey's shoes because she was wearing these kind of
clogs,
chunky heels kind of thing. And I said, see, you shouldn't wear those. They're not very nunnish. And she said, and the guy said, no, it's because of your tattoo. And he pointed to my ankle. I guess I was showing a little too much ankle that day. So I said, well, you know, every saint has a past, every sinner has a future.
Oh, that's great.
But, you know, we always try to tell people and make sure anybody that's looking on can be assured of who we actually are, because we really take very much to heart not wanting to provide a scandal or anything like that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we've had to change the intro to our show. Our show used to start off with us coming on stage as the sisters, which worked when we were doing shows here in our local diocese with everybody knowing who we are.
Right.
We realized that when we go abroad, we need to make it very clear. So Katie made a really fun video with our Instagram account pictures and things, and we play that, and we have these black giant
changing pods
that I keep by for camping.
Camping, maybe. Yeah.
I have no idea what, because you can't lay down in it. You can only stand. So I don't know if you just take it to the beach.
But so it's kind of like your Superman phone booth.
We go up as Michael and Katie, and then we change during the video and come out as the sisters. It's been a game changer, I think. And
yeah, it's really fun.
It's a lot of fun.
And I just heard you, I think, a little bit break into Sister Mary Rose. So do you have voices?
Oh, sure. I mean, we're from Waukegan, Wisconsin, which, by the way, does not exist. And so sometimes in shows, we've said, anybody been to Waukegan? And people will raise their hand. Oh. And the show will be like, you little liars, there's no such thing as Waukegan.
That's a really good UP accent. You got the yadar, hey.
She's so good at that.
So you're both from Sister Maria Stella, you're from Waukegan too.
Oh yeah, we went to college together. Go Muskies.
Go Muskies. Hey, you know what? We haven't done this in a long time. Do you want to hear the Muskies fight song?
Please.
This is all made up, by the way. There's no Muskies. I should remember it. Go Muskies, let's win this game. Go Muskies, honor your name. Muskies, 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 play sports, they win. Play sports.
Whoa! They're going all the way this year.
Oh yeah. We're 0-0.
Yeah. That is so, it's clear you guys really are bonded and it sounds like you've been friends for a long time and you're now working together, co-workers, which takes us, I guess, to another season. You were talking about you traveling and this ministry growing, this apostolate that you have, but you shared you're kind of taking a break from gigs right now because you're now co-workers and you have some new things coming up. You were sharing about a video that you're going to be doing for a prison ministry.
Yes, there's a prison ministry. Oh gosh, it's on the East Coast somewhere. And they asked us to come. And, you know, we didn't really plan on taking the next 2 or 3 months off. And we have a few little things in here, but everything that was offered, we just couldn't take for some reason. And we were like, why is this? And if God said, hey, I want you girls to stop this, in 1 second, we'd be like, no problem. So we were like, oh, I wonder if this is God saying, okay, that's enough. But what we realized is that in my job, I took on the director of campus ministry. We hired Michaela as administrative assistant. So these first few months of school are really busy. And so it's amazing how God works that, you know, in those moments where it's like, what's he doing here? And then it's revealed like, oh yeah, that was perfect timing. So we couldn't go to this prison ministry conference. And so they asked if we could do a video for them, which we've done at different times for like moms groups and things like that, and do a personalized video. And all of our shows are personalized. We get together with the organizers and try to find those inside jokes. And we've never done the same show twice. It's always personalized to who we're doing the show for. So we're excited for that little video. Hope it's not locked up. I hope it's not. I'll have to work on my prison part.
Oh, I know Sister Maria Stella has a special place in her heart for prisoners.
There's a story there, I'm sure.
There's something that's going to come of this, yeah.
I mean, we're witnessing the creative process right here. Do you kind of screen your material and test it out? And you have to be honest with one another, right? If you're like, I don't like that one, or how does that work?
Yep. And we are. We'll say, it's usually Michaela saying, I don't know if that's appropriate.
you have to shoot me down. Usually for me, with me, you're just like, no. Just now. I'm like, okay, all right, I'm going to keep typing here.
I can tell you obviously have worked around a lot of young adults, because that's how my kids are. They're just very blunt and straightforward. You're going to wear that? No. Please, no. Mom. I'll text them something I think is cool, an emoji. Mom, no.
You got to be on point.
Yeah.
And that does lead me to, as you teach theology, the question of, what you share really comes from a place of respect. And I know you do the Behind the Veil segment as well. So share about that. That's where you actually take some doctrine or some questions, because obviously you keep us laughing, entertained, inspired, but then you do give us some good doses of doctrine as well, it sounds like.
Well, yeah. I mean, at least my favorite review is from Bishop, who said, it's nice when one of us makes fun of us. And you know, when someone gets up and is not Catholic, but they maybe, I don't even know how you would do this. You try to make a joke about the Eucharist. I mean, that's just going to come off as bad. But yeah. And not that we joke about the Eucharist, but as we discuss and joke about certain aspects of being Catholic, that doesn't come from a mocking place. That comes from the deepest love and reverence that we have for our faith. And we do. Mm-hmm. I do have a theology degree and teach theology, but I think what brings us most able to bring these kind of funny things in our faith or funny reflections of our faith is us living that out. And we came together as friends in front of Jesus in the Eucharist, and that's how we maintain our ministry. So Behind the Veil really started just with people wanting to ask questions about what we're doing and things like that. And people usually have great questions, and we love talking about that. A lot more people have been booking us as Nun and Nunner, and then asking us to do breakout sessions as ourselves. Mm. And that's been a great new, we really do love that. So, but again, I would say that is rooted in our own adventure of following Jesus and sharing what that is like.
An extra consolation for you guys, because you get to make people, and it's hard, comedy's hard. So God bless you for taking on that role, because we know it's necessary. It's needed now more than ever, but it is challenging. I mean, we talked about how you first got your start. That's not fun to stand up there. It's like the kids are looking at you like, what are you doing? But you've honed your craft so well. And then to be able to go in and hit them between the eyes with the faith that we so love is awesome. And it brings me to the exciting announcement that I shared in our season launch, which is our book, Choose Hope. And Choose Joy was our first devotional, but you have said yes to being a part of our book. And so we're so excited to include you in that. So I was just wondering, can you share any wise words about hope? We're going to do a little Behind the Veil segment with you guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And well, thank you for letting us contribute, too.
My gosh.
It's very humbling, I would say.
Yeah, we're thrilled. And I think to each, you know, we're not writing together. We each have something separate. And I would say kind of the things I'm going to be talking about in that is those moments where you feel hopeless. And really the choosing that hope, it's not easy. In teaching seniors, you know, they've got this senioritis, and senioritis is real. And so is secondhand senioritis. And so I always say, you know, you've got to be responsible for you coming in here with a bad attitude. You can't do it. You got to be responsible for how you come into my class. What I have found to be the antidote to that senioritis is gratefulness, that they have to practice gratitude. And so what we say is, it's not happy people who are grateful. It's what's grateful, people who are happy. And I would say the same thing applies to hope. You have to practice hope. And I find the best way to start that is looking back in moments that you have been in despair and you have cried out to God and said, Lord, you must deliver me here. You must deliver me. In moments in my life, that's usually times where I'm just replaying one prayer over and over because I can't say anything else. I'm anxious or whatever. And then you get through it. And then you have to look back and say, how terrible on a scale of 1 to 10 was I feeling about this situation? What did I do? And then what did God do? And really reflect on that process. And then the next time you come there, you say, okay, right, remember that last time I was a 9 on the no hope scale. And what did I do? And so now I'm about a 7. So I'm going to practice choosing hope. Because really what happens is you miss out on these moments that you could be joyful, choosing joy, and hopeful and trusting that God will deliver you because he will. That doesn't mean that everything's going to work out perfectly the way that you wanted it to, but he will never abandon you. And so I am a big believer in the practice of hope, practicing joy, and practicing gratitude.
That is awesome. I wish I had like a little drawer in my brain and I could just pull what you said out at the right moment. It's funny because we have on our program, we have a Padre in your pocket. Father Nathan does mm-hmm. a little segment mm-hmm. and we have a pastor in your purse. I want to have like nuns in my noggin that you're just right there. That's so good. That's awesome. Because we do need that. And that's the hope of the book as well, because I know in a place of perpetual kind of lifelong complicated grief with having a special needs child whom I love and teaches me every day. But there are realities and difficulties, and we need that anchor. And like you said, to be reminded, the Lord has never left me. He's never failed me, nor will he ever. And and we all need that. And stories and witnesses of how other people have held on. So,
and I think, I mean, there is nothing that will stop me more. Doesn't matter what I'm doing. That nothing that will stop me more on Instagram and press like, you know, you can like press listen to the video or whatever than a Carolina video. Aww. There's nothing more at any time. It does not matter what is happening. And adorable. I think those videos, especially in the moments that you share her tough moments, to me, that is a great witness of hope. And even if you don't have any children or a special needs child or whatever, to be able to listen to your words there and hear your hope, even if it's after the fact, it doesn't matter what people are going through. It is so relatable. And so anytime you're in doubt about sharing one of those, share, because it's so valuable.
Thank you. Literally. I appreciate that. Well, you know, when you were talking, Michaela, about you just are afraid of social media, not necessarily afraid, but there's just something resistant there. I understand that. And I think we all have that complicated relationship. And, you know, to your point, Katie, it's hard because I don't want people to feel like I'm complaining. And I never, because my daughter can't speak for herself, ever want to post something that in any way would ever be perceived as disrespectful or complaining or woe is me. And that's what's so hard, because you don't know what other people are feeling when they see your post. So it's encouraging. And I just really appreciate that so much. And you know, it's, I'm realizing as we're doing this interview that I have the opportunity to look at your beautiful faces, but our listeners just hear your voices. So before we wrap up, can you explain who's who? I know one of you plays an instrument. Maybe that will help us.
Katie. Yep. So I'm Katie. Sister Mary Rose is my nun and nunner name. I'm the theology teacher. I do play guitar, but my instrumentation does not compare to the lady to my left.
I have a bag of all kinds of instruments and goodies when I go on stage, but I'm Michaela. I married my husband's a psychologist. I play Sister Maria Stella, and Sister Maria Stella is very, very good at the kazoo. And the cowbell. Yep. And the tambourine.
Wow.
Egg shaker. Drop whistle.
What was that one thing?
What is it called?
It's
the ram's horn?
It has a drumstick with it. And it's like
like a washboard almost.
Yes. And it sounds like a rainmaker type thing.
Yes,
a little bit.
Wow, look at you.
Oh yeah.
Kind of like Carrot Top.
She's exactly like Carrot Top.
How much fun to do those. So cool.
Yeah. Are you going to be working on anything else? Because I know, you know, you do take a lot of secular songs and you baptize them and you make them awesome. And if anyone hasn't been on your Facebook or Instagram, I think that's number one. Just go right now. Just stop what you're doing. Like you and check out your stuff. And you'll really be there for a while. It really is kind of like a wonderful black hole because one is funnier than the next.
Oh, and I appreciate it.
It's a good waste of time, I honestly think.
Well, we definitely have fun with it.
You walk away with a skip in your step, and I know you're always taking things. Like, I saw the Kiki song. You did something with that.
What was so funny about that? Because we didn't actually want to, like, do it. But I thought it'd be funny to do this. So I said, okay, do this. You're going to get out of the car, and then I'm just going to film me. Like, that was, it was very purposeful.
Well, because I just went on a trip with a friend and she didn't know anything about this. And I said, it's a song by the singer Drake, and they get out of the car and they dance. So if people don't know, because my friend looked at me like, what? Why?
Well, then I think people thought that we made a mistake because the joke is that I didn't turn the camera around to see her dancing outside the car.
So you're the driver and it's just on you.
Right, it's like zoomed in on my nose, and so people were like, "We can't see it. Turn it around." And it was like, "Yeah, that was the joke, my friends. I'm sorry."
But it was for a good cause. You were fundraising or something, weren't you?
Thank you for mentioning that. That is so nice of you. It's a friend of ours actually who had breast cancer. And she has a charity called Trisha's Hope, and they just had their big event through the year. So find that video and go to Trisha's Hope. She's a trustworthy gal with a great mission. And thanks for mentioning that.
Yes. And God bless you for taking pop culture and turning it into something holy and good.
You know what? It's really the natural, I don't know, vibe of our friendship.
That's true.
When Michael was married, I was her maid of honor and I sung her speech to Don't Stop Believing. Mm-hmm.
I cried.
The altar, but she cried at Don't Stop Believing.
No.
When I was on the altar saying my vows, it was like business. Because I was like, this is serious. I can't be blubbering. You know, this is a covenant contract. But then I think once I kind of relaxed after like doing that very serious thing of taking my vows, then, Katie came, you know, she sang that speech, and I was just like, oh, I love you.
This is what's wrong with women's movie. Like, that it needs to be in a movie. And the female movies today are just, they're thumbs down, a lot of them. They're so raunchy. Yeah, and
I don't know. This is probably, I don't know, probably somebody would be mad at this, but I think it's just guy humor that girls are doing, as opposed to, that's what, sometimes fighting for the right to be masculine, as opposed to upholding what is truly feminine. And I mean, I'm sure some people think it's funny, but I definitely, man, don't you miss the good old days of You've Got Mail?
Yes.
Where are those? Why did they ever stop making 90s movies?
I know. And we could all cry together and not be worried if somebody walks in the room. I mean, it was innocent and sweet. And it makes me wonder about your inspiration, because I'm hearing, do you like Weird Al Yankovic? Is that a thread in there at all?
I definitely grew up with him. We have always been. I mean, like, think we worked at the courthouse for years together.
We've been coworkers before.
Yeah. It's just our natural. We both have a sense of humor that is kind of quirky. And so when you put us together, I mean, all of our friends would agree that.
Quirky, or I would even argue, playful. Mm-hmm. This is what I feel very thankful for and what I hope that other people can have is, as an adult, I feel like I have a friend who I can still play with. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. And that's where our chemistry comes from. It literally is like, we basically go to the sandbox every day and play. And that's what happens. And then these stories, characters pop up. Mm-hmm. It is imaginative play almost. I know that kind of sounds weird, but I do think that adults need to do that more.
Yeah, and you've got the dress-up element. You've got you're in the sandbox with your habits.
You're right. We've actually kind of been toying around with the children's book idea, and it really is just reminiscent of not only our younger days, but today. Yeah,
you've got to do it. You've got to do it. We need that more salt and light, and you're a little salty and you're light. So I just think what you're doing is so important. It's so awesome.
I'm right back at you, Brooke. I mean, isn't it great to be around people that are answering God's call and doing it in their own beautiful way? Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is awesome. So thank you for what you're doing too.
Yep. And I, you know, it's funny when you mentioned about being a part of Choose Hope and I feel the same way. I'm glad that my editor is letting me be a part of my book because, you know, you just see how the Lord, we're all a witness, you know, in being welcome into the kingdom of believers. And it's such a grand place and we all have a place. And I think that's what we need to be reminded of. And whether that's through humor or through tears, as we preach the good news. So thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you.
How can we find you?
Well, I think Instagram is probably the place where we have the most stuff. So at Nun and Nunner. We have a website too, nunandnunner.com, and then we're on Facebook. So, you know, just Google around NUNAND NUNNER.
And the book. We'll see you in the book.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yes. I was really excited to be able to contribute, especially to this particular topic on choosing hope. My husband and I, we were married on September 23rd, which is St. Padre Pio's feast day. And one of my favorite quotes from him is pray, hope, don't worry. And the scripture that I was given on my contract to write was Luke 21, 5:19. And it's about you'll be betrayed by parents, brothers, sisters, even some of you will be put to death, but not a hair on your head will perish. So stand firm. And I feel like those things really tie in together really well. And I'm excited to be able to contribute with that.
See, that's the awesome power of the Holy Spirit, you know, taking those writings. And I have, when I saw mine too, it was Thomas putting his hands in the wounds.
That's right on. I always think like Thomas took one for the team because, you know, there's are always people in the crowd that are like thinking that, but don't want to say it. And even in Thomas's doubt, the fact that he doubted, but he voiced it to the Lord. He voiced it to Jesus in the end. And
can you say he took one for the team in the voice of Sister Mary Rose?
Oh, sure. Well, that doubting Thomas, you know, he took one
real
for the
doubt.
Team. Gee, golly.
I don't know why. It's my favorite. I love
it. I know
when
there's something about those accents. Those
I know.
Minnesotans.
That's right. Got to probe those wounds there. That's right.
I don't mean to laugh. It's so deeply profound, but I just really appreciate that. Okay, so thank you. God bless you. We are excited to connect with you on this journey and look forward to following you and praying for all you do and for the intercession of St. Anthony, because I know that he is kind of your unofficial patron.
He is. Yes, well, thank you so much, and God bless all that you're doing, too.
Nun and Nunner. I really do want to have Nuns in Your Noggin as a regular feature, like my friend Linda Isaiah and Father Nathan Crumley. I just want to be besties. I think they're so much fun. Thank you so much again to the ladies. And the info about their website and all the details will be up on our show notes again. So you can go today and check them out today. Be blessed by their ministry. Thank you again. And as an extra treat, I told you today was packed. We have a bonus interview. Really love this young woman, her story, what she's doing. Really cool story from the founder and creator of Catholic Family Crate. Check it out. Okay, so raise your hand if you have ever, as a mother, as a woman, as a human, had a Pinterest fail, or if you ever feel like other moms have it all together and do a better job of living liturgically. I've got mine way up. That's definitely me. I've had Pinterest fails. And if that's you too, if you've ever been able to relate to that category, you are going to love our next guest. So excited to connect with Alyssa Tripp again. She is the creator of the Catholic Family Crate. Welcome to the show, Alyssa.
Thank you, Brooke. I'm so happy to be here with you today.
And I am too, because I know you get it. And we're kind of kindred spirits. You kind of having your hand raised there too. And we'll get into a little bit about the pressure of just wanting to really, with an open heart, be a great mom and to bring our faith to life to our kids. And you've done that through your own journey. And the product, the fruit of that, is the Catholic Crate, the Catholic Family Crate. So could you tell us a little bit about how it works? I know you're going to go into the details of the subscription and everything later, but what is it for those that don't know?
It is a surprise quarterly package that gets delivered to your house to get kids excited about the faith and to make it easy for adults. So it's ideal for grandparents or godparents, parents, and it basically just sends you everything you need to talk about the faith or dive into a particular liturgical season with your kids without having to do any prep work. So everything comes, you don't need anything, everything's included. So we include picture books every time. We have this beautiful guide that's put together that takes the family through various activities, crafts. We learn about the saint of the quarter. There's a family hymn to learn. Typically, there's a traditional hymn and a kid's song. anyways, just full, packed full of all kinds of great information and also access to different Catholic toys and products that are out there in the market.
Well, I love this so much because I know when my kids were little and during nap time, I could log on and find inspiration. And I had those breaks in the day or time to say, okay, this is my planner. This is what I'm going to work on. We're at a different stage of life now. My oldest is going to be 17. We are right. always busy. I still have younger ones too. My youngest is going to be 7, but he's not taking a nap during the day anymore. And it is pressure because as much as I am truly inspired, I am so thankful for those that have a gift for liturgical living and have grown up that way and have given their gifts to us to inspire us. But it also is challenging. And I know you said in our emails, that's really the seed of where this started for you as well.
Yes. So I am not a perfect Pinterest worthy mom blogger who's living the liturgical year with her kids. And I was struggling because like you said, I'd end up with a free hour in the evening or so, and I would start diving into, okay, what can we do for Lent or Advent? And I would end up with, you know, 50 easy ideas for things to do for Advent, and I would just be so overwhelmed, I would shut the laptop and we wouldn't do anything for Advent. So God kept putting it on my heart to figure out a way to make it easier for myself and other families, because I felt like I couldn't be the only mom struggling with this. And I knew I wasn't the only mom struggling with it. So I prayed about it for a year because I kept saying, I don't have a degree in theology. Like, I don't know anything about teaching kids. My background is in finance. I have, you know, how am I going to pull something like this together? So I kept telling God, no, this is not me. This is not me. And I just kept feeling him putting it back on my heart again.
I was going to say, you know, that's famous last words.
Yes, exactly. Like, this is not me. So my sister just kept reminding me of the saying, like, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And so that's been something for me is like, I have pulled together a team of people who have the resources that I don't have. So we have two priests, actually Father Nathan, who's on your podcast regularly. He helps us with content creation and with theological editing. Then we have another priest who teaches here at the, I'm in Denver, who teaches at the seminary here in Denver. And he also helps with content creation and theological editing. And then we have two Catholic Montessori teachers from Sophia Montessori who help us with all the creation to make sure it's like really great stuff for kids. And then we have some catechesis of the Good Shepherd catechists and theologians who help with writing the guide and just making all the decisions of what goes into the crate. So we have a huge team that kind of supports me in this mission. So they fill in all the things I don't know how to do.
Yeah. And that's so exciting and so Holy Spirit driven when you know you only have two hands and a limited amount of knowledge and time, and the Lord just brings forth these people better than what you could have yes. even dreamed up. That is so cool. And what have you learned from the experience? So I know it's a subscription service, right? And
yes.
I guess any sort of takeaways from the process of starting this apostolate you could share?
Yes. If you feel like God's calling you to do something and you don't feel like you have the skills, it's okay. Like, you'll either learn, he'll give you the ability to learn. YouTube has been my best friend. I had never done any web development or web design, and I did the whole website myself.
What? It's beautiful.
Thank you. So it was quite the journey, lots of sleepless nights and late nights, but I mean, YouTube and help articles and reaching out to support lines was, you know, everything I needed. So I think just like going out there and trying, if you have something that you feel like God's calling you to do, just trying it. And then also relying on the gifts he's given to other people and not assuming that you have to have all those gifts yourself.
Yes.
I think the biggest thing is it's not as hard as I thought it was going to be. It's work, for sure. It takes time. But has it been hard? No.
Good. And it sounds like rewarding even early on. And speaking of that, I wanted to give a quick schedule that you sent me regarding the crates and what people can expect as you've walked through this process. You have the Lent Easter in February crate, May faith formation topic, August faith formation topic, and then November Advent in Christmas theme. And you said some of the topics could be the Bible, Mass, the Rosary. It sounds like right now you don't have a monthly one, it's quarterly. But is that your goal moving forward, maybe to increase?
Yeah, so we would love to. The original idea was for it to be monthly, but it's just really a lot. You know, I'm a mom, wife and mom with two small kids. So until we sort of got a good enough process and enough subscribers to be able to hire some help to switch to monthly, we're just doing quarterly. So one day I would love to do monthly, but for now it's quarterly. Right now we are still selling our August box, which is the Bible crate. And another piece of ours is we offer three different options. The first option is a family crate, and it includes everything for children and also for parents. So we have tools for the adults to dive down into their faith as well. So for our Bible crate, for example, it was a beautiful hand-lettered print to hang up in your home done by Erica Tai of Be a Heart Design. And it was also a Lexio Divina journal for adults so that they can learn how to do Lexio. And it included about a month of prompts for them to journal.
So when you said that, I was thinking that the parents would have their own craft or they would help the kids, but that's really awesome.
Yeah. So we have, I mean, obviously all of it is designed for the family to do together. I mean, there are parts that kids can do, but we have sort of incorporated lots of discussion questions so that the parents are given the words to be able to use to enter a dialogue, because that was some of the feedback that we got when we were thinking about doing this idea was parents either didn't feel like they knew enough about the faith to really feel comfortable teaching their kids, or they had degrees in theology and they didn't know how to break down these complex topics to a five-year-old. So one of our huge initiatives is to give parents the words to break it down to a five-year-old or an eight-year-old because as you know, like if you're not really invested in the faith, your kids, they can tell.
Yeah.
But we also offer a kid crate, and that also that's been really popular for gifts. And it's even been a great evangelization tool. Like we've had a lot of people who are ordering it to give to their grandkids whose parents might not be taking them to church. And then we also offer a digital option, which is our most affordable option.
That is so exciting. No more Pinterest fails. It's just there. It's on the porch. It's delivered.
Yes. Exactly. And we have beautiful coloring pages and all kinds of other stuff. So,
well, you are offering, because it's just so awesome to hear about it. And we have an exclusive offer for our Good Things Radio listeners.
Yes. Yeah. We're doing $5 off with the code GOODTHINGS, all subscriptions. So all subscriptions are $5 off. And I guess one note on that, there is the option too, if you just want to give it as a gift or just try it and not subscribe, that you can order one-time crates as well. Okay. And as a subscriber, you can cancel at any time. There's no contract or obligation. So if you got your first one and weren't interested in continuing, you could cancel, or you could also skip.
That is awesome. And so we'll link up the coupon. We'll link up the information in our show notes. And the website is CatholicFamilyCrate.com. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Uh-huh. And it's beautiful. We're
just at Catholic Family Crate on Instagram and Facebook as well.
And how can we pray for you? I think so many of us can relate to what you're doing, whether it's a dream to do what you're doing or they're living it now, where you are doing something because you saw a need, you want to advance the faith and strengthen families. And that's such a beautiful need. So how can we support what you're doing and come alongside you?
Yeah, if you can just pray for our ministry and that get into the hands of the families who need us most.
Thank you so much, Alyssa. And again, info will be linked up on the show notes, the code, the discount, their site. Once again, thank you so much to Alyssa Tripikin. Have you subscribed to our newsletter yet? If not, take a minute, add your name, because there's a lot going on that we've not even been able to pack into these shows here. And then also with Choose Hope coming up, we want you to be in on the latest info. So sign up. That'll get you in the loop. All the good things that are happening, being given away, and upcoming guests and goodies, you can do that when you just sign up for the newsletter. And we'll link that up on the show notes too. And speaking of in the loop, a big, huge, huge thank you to Jeanette, to Melinda. Yeah, we have to do a double yeah on that one. Really awesome ladies. They are our latest Podbean patrons, most recent GTR, good friends of the show. And we're working really hard to bring you things to bless you, enrich your day. And I hope, that's our hope. If you like it, you can support our little program, become a Podbean patron, a good friend of the show, contribute any amount of your choice to the ministry. And we're just thankful. Thank you to all of our faithful patrons. God bless you.
Hi, everybody. This is Father Nathan, the famous Padre in your pocket. I'm here to share with you a special opportunity for women who are engaged in leadership positions in business or in cultural realms. I have a retreat for you out here in Denver, September 30th in the evening until October 3rd in the morning. You'd fly into Denver and we'd take it from there at a beautiful ranch outside of the city in the mountains. We'll have walks every day in the mountains. It'll be strenuous, or at least slightly strenuous, to enjoy the fall colors together. Adoration every day, mass every day, confessions available. And I'll give three talks a day on discovering the call of Christ to Catholic business and cultural women leaders. How do I discover the flame and the fire of leadership where I am? And so if you're interested, please send me an email. Send it to info@stjohninstitute.org. That's info@stjohninstitute.org. The price is $1,000, and you'll enjoy a beautiful retreat with me in Denver over the course of those 4 days. info@stjohninstitute.org. God bless.
Coming up on this season of Good Things Radio, contemporary Christian music artist Connor Flanagan, a brand new album out. We are going to talk to him, Brother John Michael Paul, a monk, a brother with the Order of the Community of St. John, my buddy to the Holy Land, and we are going back. We're going back to Israel, and that means Nazareth, Galilee, Jericho, all these sacred places in the life of Christ. Would love for you to join us. So Brother John Michael Paul is going to actually stop by and talk about that, why he's so passionate about the Holy Land. And it's contagious. He's just a really cool person. And I cannot wrap up the show without mentioning this. I have not forgotten, nor am I ignoring the enormous situation going on, happening right now within and without the Catholic Church. I had about a 30-minute conversation with Father Nathan Cromley on the latest developments. Here's a clip. Just take a listen.
What can you do, though, is what no one who's at a higher level of authority can do. Heal the broken hearts around you. Encourage the women that are about to leave the church because of this to stay. No bishop's going to do that. No priest is going to do that. That's your job. But if everyone started looking around what is in their role and started to sanctify that little corner of the earth, you would be doing so much good. And frankly, I think you find yourself so busy that you wouldn't have time to sit around every night and watch everybody talking about what position the president of this university is going to take and what position this, that's important stuff. And I'm not putting it down, but I'm saying, what can you really do? I bet there's people in your life right now who are hurting. I think you need to reach out with them and say, let's pray together and say that Our Father and be the Jesus that they're looking for. Bring Jesus in your heart to them.
So again, that conversation was about 30 minutes total. And so we dig into a lot. We cover a lot of ground in that time. The video is actually up on YouTube. So I will link that up for you as well so that you can watch. And I think we need ongoing prayer for one another. Now things are happening where it's really beginning to splinter off and there are hurt feelings. And he has a lot of really good things to say about the littleness of where we are and the power that can come from our littleness. So again, you can catch that on YouTube and I'll link that up. Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta's feast day is on September 5th. So as we close, I wanted to share a thought from her. This is the book, Come Be My Light, one of my ultimate always go-to books, dog-eared and a little bit worn and torn, but one quote I wanted to share with you. She says, daily we pray, let them look up and see only Jesus. But how often we look in and see only Jesus in us? Do we see him in using our eyes, mind, and heart as his own? Are we so given to him that we find his eyes looking through ours, his tongue speaking, his hands working, his feet walking, his heart loving? Do we really see only Jesus in us? A great question as we close the show. And a prayer, Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta, pray for us. Thank you so much to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills and quick work. He is a producer extraordinaire, and for any audio needs you might have, check him out at cumminghomestudio.com. Until next time, friends, God bless and keep you. May God's light shine upon you and give you peace.